I would give to have that on tape.
It wasn't that bad.
Oh, that was fantastic what you just did.
Well, now I'm all paranoid.
Yeah, well, you should be. It's not paranoia when it's true, Sarah. It's not paranoia when it's a likely scenario.
All right.
We'll explain that here in a second.
There's nothing to explain.
No, here's what I have. Can you sweeten my microphone a little bit, please?
Thank you.
Here's what just happened. Now, yesterday, you may have, if you heard yesterday's Rick Emerson radio program, when we weren't busy laughing about the untimely deaths of circus clowns. And by the way, I got an email from more than one person who literally, and I'm speaking now in clinical terms, I'm not speaking for purposes of comedic or, satiric exaggeration. I got more than one email from people who actually wet themselves listening to that. How about this, Rick? I was listening to the podcast of yesterday's show, and the last hour was the funniest goddamn thing I've ever heard. I literally wet my pants. A grown man, presumably. This is a man who owns his own business. I'm looking at his email sig file here. This man runs his own company, yet had no control over his bladder. Actually urinated while wearing his pants yesterday. He said, I knew clown murders were funny, but damn. Best ever. Damn. I will not use his name. He gave me his full name and his business. It's so tempting just to announce the name of a business owner who wet his pants yesterday, but I won't do that. I got more than one email saying that. Anywho. So if you heard yesterday's program, there was this moment on yesterday's show when we realized we made this astonishing discovery. And I think it's been fixed. I think, we hope.
I don't think it has
been. It's been fixed and replaced with an exciting new...
We should try.
With an exciting new glitch in the studio. We discovered yesterday that if any of the phone lines were picked up, and again, we don't have a phone like you do at home. It's not really like a multi-line phone like you have in the office. As we always describe, it's like a big box. It kind of looks like a computer keypad. But there's only a couple rows of keys, and those are all phone lines that we pick up. And there's no actual handset. There's no actual cradle that you pick up. It just goes right into this big mixing board. Anyway, so we discovered yesterday, through sheer accident, it was a total surprise. We had no idea this was the case. That if any of the phone lines were picked up, I'm going to make sure I describe this in a way that it's explicable. All of our microphones in the studio, myself, Tim, Sarah, the guest mics, they all have on-off buttons. So if Sarah's, on the phone, she's clearing her throat, or she's hacking up a lung, or she's either talking to somebody, she don't want to go over the air. If she's swearing, perhaps, or speaking badly about someone who thinks that they're a friend, the microphone can be turned off so those thoughts don't go over the air, theoretically speaking. What we discovered yesterday, quite by accident, by happenstance, one might say, is that if any of the phone lines are on the air, in other words, if we are taking a call from someone, the easiest way to put it is this. If we are taking a phone call from anybody on the air, none of the microphone off buttons work. So anytime we're taking a phone call on the air, Tim and Sarah's microphones are hot. They are live. Even if they're turned off. We didn't realize that yesterday until we were busy taking a phone call, and I kept hearing this whispering in the background. And finally, I was like, well, what the hell is that? Where is that ambient noise coming from? And I looked over, and the whispering in my headphones and the movement of Sarah's mouth were syncing up exactly. And we discovered in yesterday's program that if the phones are on the air, Sarah's mic and Tim's mic are on and cannot be turned off, which means that anything that...
And
they were,
yours.
And mine, which means that anything that was being said behind those microphones, even if the mics were turned off, was going over the air. What does it have to do with Sarah going la-la-la-la-la at the beginning of today's program? It's because we've now become really paranoid that everything we're saying in the studio is going over the air, even when nothing's... Even when the microphones could be unplugged at this point and put in a box in the back of a truck headed to Sheboygan, and we'd still be afraid that things were going over the air. So about 30 seconds before the show started... How do I put this? We were talking about someone we know. I'll be very, very vague about this. About 30 seconds, I'll be very vague so that everybody who knows us thinks we're talking about them.
I know, and it's not you, whoever you're thinking, whoever's listening. It's not you.
Now we're going to get everyone totally confused.
About now 30, we just sound like jerks.
So that's the backstory, is that yesterday we discovered that the microphones were going over the air when we didn't know they were. That's the easiest way to put it. Previously on the Rick Emerson program, yesterday we found that the microphones were on the air even when they were turned off. So today before the program, we were talking about someone that we know. and what it might be to be stuck on a desert island with that person. And exactly how hellish that would be, and at what point you would just go drown yourself because you couldn't take it one more day. And why that might be the case. And what this person's personality traits are, and how suicide-inducing they might be. So we're having this conversation just a couple minutes ago, right before the show goes on the air. And if I've done this right...
Directly into the microphone.
Yeah, and we're all on because we just sit behind the microphones. We're not doing it as though we're doing a radio. We're just talking. But we happen to be sitting behind the mics. And all of a sudden, at once, we all kind of go... and crane our heads and look down at the control board and realize yesterday's problem. And suddenly, we're all convinced that the conversation's been going over the air the entire time. And so Sarah does this thing of putting on her headphones, leaning into the microphone and saying, la 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 la, just to test, to make sure, to verify for ourselves, because we thought we had it fixed, just to verify that the whole conversation wasn't going over the air. So there you go. So that's why Sarah was going la 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 at the top of the show. And if I've done the, if I phrase all of this exactly right, everybody who we know is convinced that they're the person we're talking about.
And, it is. And you're not. I don't think this person listens.
No, it is. It is you.
You're such a jerk.
It is you. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by. It is 7 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of February, in the year of our Lord 2007. You'd like to be part of today's program? By God, God bless you for that. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. And again, the phone number today. And I think the phones are fixed.
Can we try it?
Well, there were several. I don't want to do too much technical talk here because it becomes a read. Then because of like the Academy Awards doing Best Sound Mixing Award, nobody really cares. But I will say that yesterday there was this problem of the microphones couldn't actually be turned off. And you, if you don't, unless, I don't know what the equivalent is, like a your business, whatever industry you work in. I don't know if there's an equivalent, but in radio, you can't imagine how terrifying that is. The idea that the microphone in the studio can't be turned off. That even when the off, even when you have pressed the off button, even when the red light has gone out, the fact that the microphone is still transmitting your voice over the air, that's unbelievably terrifying. There are a few things, and I don't know if people who work in other industries have recurring dreams. I don't know if there are common nightmares that, like, tax accountants have or something. You know what I mean? If there's, like, you know, I don't know. If you're an agricultural lawyer, I don't know if there's one bad dream, one recurring nightmare that all agricultural barristers have, but there are recurring nightmares that everybody in radio has. People in radio have a recurring nightmare that the phones are ringing, but you can't answer them. I have that one all the time. I have this dream that the phone lines are all lit up. It's not that nobody's calling. It's that people are calling, and I can't answer. I'll look down. The phones are blinking in the dream, and I'll start pressing a button, and nothing happens. I can't pick the phone up. People in radio will have a dream that they are locked out of the studio, and there's only about 15 seconds left on the record, and the record is running out. That your Stairway to Heaven only has about 13 seconds left in it, and you can't get back in the studio to replace records. What else? People in radio have dreams that they have overslept and missed an air shift, that they're supposed to be in the air midnight. They wake up at like midnight 40. They can't get to work. Car won't start. So, anyway. But one that you can't turn the microphone on or off. That's a recurring bad dream in radio. So I don't know. There's really no way to explain how terrible that was. But in the process of fixing the microphones yesterday and this morning, then they broke the phones today. And so the phones, like line, when you would call line 1, it would ring on line 3. When you would call line 3, it would be busy. And then line 4 would ring on the hotline. So that's how the phones were working this morning. So today is going to be one big exercise in trial and error, seeing if things function properly. It's going to be the best day ever. That's what I'm saying to you, my friend. Here's why it's going to be the best day ever. That's the sort of broad strokes. Specifically speaking, it's going to be the best day ever today because we got the CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, who will be joining us to talk about the Anna Nicole Smith. We got the Lisa Goddard, who's going to be... I really only want Lisa Goddard to call. I mean, I think we lied and said that we're going to talk about Kazakhstan or whatever, some place. But that's really because I want to talk about these 11 people who died at a Pakistani kite flying festival. More than 100 injured. I swear to God, listen to this. 11 dead at Pakistani Kite Festival because her fiancé is a kite flying man. Metal kite strings and celebratory gunfire claim lives at annual event. More than 100 injured.
It's the best day of your life, Rick Emerson.
It is. It really is fantastic. So we're going to talk to her about that. But the big news from CNN today is, at long last, they have announced the replacement for CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, who was there. Got Gary Baumgarten, who is in New York. So Gary Baumgarten's gone. They got some new guy, Steve Kastenbaum. So Steve Kastenbaum. Didn't we look him up on the internet?
No, we never have.
Okay. So he's some guy. So anyway.
Because Brian Blank had written to me with some information about him like a month ago.
Brian Blank's got to be feeling bad today.
Why?
Well, because he was clearly trying out for that gig and he didn't get it.
Oh.
I mean, speaking of which, when's the last time anybody heard from Rachel McGrath? There's Jim Roop underneath her car with a pair of pliers. And then you cut right to her cutlass going right up a cliff somewhere. Anyway, so there's a new CNN radio correspondent from New York, Steve Kastenbaum. And I swear to God, he's his own story. Please welcome Steve Kastenbaum. Please feel free to book him and welcome him to our team and yours. So we've done that.
Because we just can't do it ourselves.
So there you go. So we're going to talk about the Steve Kastenbaum today. What else do we have coming up today? We have other stuff. We got that fetish story from yesterday. We never got to that. We have today's top five. We're going to talk to our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger today. And we have, I got a follow-up from some dudes about a thing I mentioned yesterday. And this is not normally the kind of thing we do, because it's a little listy, and we don't typically do like lists of stuff, because it becomes like the sort of kudzu vine that overtakes the entire program. But we were talking yesterday I was watching this trailer for this terrible, what's it called, Wild Hogs movie with Ray Liotta, and how you know it's a bad movie because like 3 seconds into the trailer they start playing Bad to the Bone.
I know somebody who said yesterday that they wanted to see it.
Who? Tell me, come on. Is it Dennis Pitzenbarger? I bet it is.
No.
Is it Scotty?
No.
It is, isn't it?
Well, of course Scotty wants to see it.
Who wants to see Wild Hogs with Tim Allen? With Tim Allen, John Travolta, and Martin Lawrence.
All right, see, I have one of my... this is going to get into a thing.
Okay, then we'll wait.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so there's this guy sent me this thing. He said, Rick, some time ago, my friends and I compiled a list of ways you can tell a movie's going to suck. And presumably from the trailer. So we'll read it. It's pretty funny, actually. So we'll read that later. It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and polka-dotted Sarah X. Dillon. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You know, I love polka dots.
Let me ask you this.
Here's the thing that I wonder sometimes. Because people often speculate. That's the wrong word. People, I think, are intrigued on a certain level by the interpersonal dynamics of the Rick Emerson radio program. And there have been many people who, they just started to listen, and maybe they haven't had a lot of experience with the radio program. And... I don't know. People who maybe misconstrue the relationship that Sarah and I have. Sarah and I have a warm sibling-like relationship. But I will say this. Here's the thing I've always wondered. Because you know that I have a whole thing for polka dots.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have actually always wondered if that goes through your head when you go to put on a piece of clothing that is polka dotted, if you are less likely to wear it.
It does not.
It doesn't? So it's not even a factor?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, I forgot up until this point that you like polka dots.
All right, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not trying to overstate
Rick,
my own...
Rick, I for you every day.
No, that's not what I... Okay, now we'll do
that. See, now you've made it awkward, and now I'm going to be thinking about it. You should have just kept that... That was an inside thought.
No, there's no need to be sarcastic and no need to be spiky about it. I'm just saying...
Spiky?
I'm not saying that you dress for me, but I'm saying I was wondering if it was actually the opposite. Like if I was to say, like, was it you? I hate to ask this question. I hate to say this. Was it you or was it Christina? Because I can't remember. Where there was a whole issue about the length of the hair. And I think it was Christina,
actually. It must be. I don't remember.
It was Christina Carlson who worked on the show a few years ago. Was a producer on the show. And... said that there was this whole moment of awkwardness at one point because she realized that she, without even really, she didn't really know this, but she realized at one point that she was keeping her hair long for me. And she said that she had this moment of realization when her husband was like, why is your hair so long these days? You never used to keep it that long. And she said that she had just heard me go on and on and on the show so frequently and for so long about how long hair was always better on women, that she said she realized that without even thinking it, she had been keeping her hair long because that's how I liked it. And then she was just horrified, and she immediately went out and cut it, like, the next day. Because she was just, not because she wanted it short as such, but because she was freaked out.
Because
she was freaked out by the idea that she was doing it for me. So that's my thing with you wearing the polka dots. Because I just wondered if maybe when you go to put them on, you would actually be less likely to wear them. Because, you know, I got a whole polka dot thing.
God, you're an egomaniac.
Word.
Word.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
It's snowing in the suburbs.
They may be snowing where you are.
It was close. Dick Cheney could have been killed in Afghanistan.
You heard a loud boom, but it wasn't close enough.
Oh, please.
Britney has an entire floor of rehab all to herself. And it may be nut sacks that are troubling her. She could have postpartum depression, Marie Osmond style.
Oh, honestly, who doesn't? All right, there you go. So there's that. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff that'll make you, any sympathy you have for Britney is going to go out the window after today. So screw her. So, and we'll have details on that coming up later on and so forth. 503-733-2970. What was the point I was going to make? What was the thing? You had a whole thing about what?
Oh, no. You know how you have deal breakers?
With women?
Yeah, or like just things in general, like when you, like say for example, you're getting to know somebody. Like mine, for example, is Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, no, that's true.
That's my bottom line.
No, I'm with you on that. You and I are the same there. Somebody who likes Napoleon Dynamite is dead to me.
No, and actually, yeah, I was thinking it with
your gentleman friend?
With that, yeah.
Raul.
And he...
No. No. What did he say? What did he give me? Tell me the exact quote.
He said that looked funny.
Well, now, to be fair, has he seen it?
He saw the... We were at a bar, and he saw the trailer, and he said it looked funny.
For Napoleon Dynamite?
No, not for Napoleon Dynamite. But
for Wild Hogs?
Yes!
Oh. Loser!
And once I found a copy of Napoleon Dynamite that he said he got as a gift.
Uh-huh. Yeah, baby, wouldn't mind. That's like porn. You find a copy of Napoleon Dynamite. Baby, if somebody gave it to me, it was a gag gift, honey. Maybe the guys at the office. Please, let me back in.
I just don't know, Rick Emerson.
He owns Napoleon Dynamite, and he wants to see the new... He wants to see the new Tim Allen, John Travolta, and Martin Lawrence film featuring Bad to the Bone.
It was like I found a dead baby. I'm like, what is this?
Do you have something you'd like to explain to me?
Do you have something you'd like to tell me?
No, Napoleon Dynamite, speaking of... I know this is going to sound creepy, but speaking of women with whom I am not involved altering their behavior so as not to earn my disfavor, you know, Joni actually, Joni DeRoshi told me, and I think I can't remember whether she's now seen the entire film or whether she walked about halfway through and just bailed out on it, but I remember Joni at one point, she knew about my thing with Napoleon Dynamite, and she actually told me that if she ever watched it and liked it, that she would never tell me. She's like, I know.
She might have secretly watched it at some point and really liked it.
To me, here's the thing. To me, Napoleon Dynamite is like it's like an out-of-town affair. You know what I mean? It's like, it's sort of, you know, I'd rather not know. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm out of town and you're getting it on with the Fuller Brush Man, you just keep that for yourself. It's, you know, what? No harm, no foul. All things concerned, there's no point, there's no reason to bring it up. You're not going to be better served in any way by letting anybody know about that. So if you like Napoleon Dynamite, that's just a thing you should not tell me. Because I'll think less of you as a person, and I mean that sincerely. Was it Scott Daly? It was Scott Daly that was like, it made it his film of the year. I equate liking Napoleon Dynamite with being an idiot.
You know what? And you know it's just the two of us because everybody loves that movie.
Yeah.
But I resent it so much.
I hate that movie.
I hate it so...
I hate Napoleon Dynamite.
Irrationally hate.
I hate Napoleon Dynamite more than I hate almost anything on earth.
And I hate it when people try to do impressions of it. It is not funny. It's never been funny. You don't sound anything like it.
No.
I hate you for trying.
No, and there's no... And you impress no one with that. And who are the people you're doing that for that laugh? That's my thing. Like, who are the people that you do that Napoleon Dynamite gag for that really giggle at you and find it to be hilarious? All right. Well, it's okay.
Yeah.
Where were you at when you saw the trailer for Wild Hogs? Now, can we call him your boyfriend yet?
No.
Let me ask you this. What makes someone... I'm not saying he is, but what makes him your boyfriend or not, in your opinion? Like, what would have to happen for him to be your boyfriend?
Well, it's just, I'm just not in the place where I just want to have a new boyfriend.
I'm not saying that you are. I'm saying, what is the difference to you between a guy you're dating and
probably
a guy who's your boyfriend?
Probably, like, the exclusivity discussion, I'd say.
So once you have the discussion about seeing no one, that's the difference between boyfriend and not.
No, and probably, like, discussing whether or not, you know, that's the person that I want to pursue a future with.
Really? Do you have those discussions?
Yes.
How do you start that discussion? How do you...
Awkwardly.
How do you... You wait to see if he likes Tim Allen films. You actually sit down and say, I'd like to discuss our future. Did you do that with your ex, who cannot be named?
I don't know.
He was your boyfriend.
He was.
Did you discuss your future?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we did at some point, but...
Or was it more like The Godfather with the horse's head, where you just woke up one day and looked over, you know, and then there you were, and...
No, I'm sure there was some discussion.
You were hip deep.
Well, girls like to talk about that stuff.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just asking. It doesn't matter to me. All right.
I'm just as confused. I'm new to the whole dating thing. I'm just as confused as you are. No. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm just saying. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. What a random and scattered first 20 minutes this has been.
Yeah.
How many ways have we alienated everybody? We've made everybody who knows the show think that we were talking about being stuck on a desert island with them. We've said that everyone who likes Napoleon Dynamite is an idiot. We've said anybody who likes the new Tim Allen film is an idiot, but that's true. That's indisputably true. And a deal breaker. I'm with you on that. Did you point out to him that it was going to be a terrible film?
Yes, and actually, I'm like, what did you just say?
Yeah.
And then, in his defense, I think he only caught, like, the very end of it.
What did he say? Did he say, like, did he volunteer? Okay, so you're at a bar, you're at somebody's house.
Yeah, there's some sporting event or something going on the TV.
The Wild Hogs commercial plays. Again, Wild Hogs being a new movie starring John Travolta and Martin Lawrence. And then did you ask him, or did he volunteer?
No, I didn't even notice that it was playing.
Did he volunteer by saying, that looks funny? Or... did he say that I'm going to see that?
I think he kind of gave a chuckle.
Do you ever sit in the theater and the trailer plays and everybody in the movie theater laughs but you, and you wonder if they're all retarded or if there's just something wrong with you? That happens every time I'm in a trailer for, like, a Big Mama's House style movie or, you know, whatever. You're sitting there and the trailer plays and at the end everybody in the theater is laughing uproariously and you really wonder if you're the one who's defective or if you just happen to be in, like, a theater full of idiots. So, all right, well, I don't want to get off on all this.
Yeah, we've got to be... got to brighten this up a little.
I'm just saying, no, it's a perfectly bright show. We're going to talk to CNN radio correspondent Steve Katzenbaum, who is new. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll take a break. We'll come back after this. We got Ed McCarthy coming up and more from CNN in the hours following that. At the noon, we will visit the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. You sit here. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy about Anna Nicole Smith. Oh, and I got... did I print that out? Did I bring that here? Oh, here we go. Anna Nicole autopsies and embalming. This is from our friend Brent, who is an embalming guy. I don't really know what he does. He does something where they take dead people and they take something out and they put something in. We'll read that here in a few. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, please be telling us Sarah's other deal breakers. Just so you know, I want to be prepared in case she should ever become available. Ha ha. When they type ha ha, yeah, that's how...
I love the ha ha.
The ha ha is great because the ha ha's the... I'm just kidding. Really? Hey, would you like to talk about that email you got via MySpace?
Oh, man.
Sarah just got the... now, it's not officially stalking, I suppose, because he hasn't actually showed up outside your window yet. But this is what? This is a guy you haven't seen in how long?
This is a guy that I was friends with in high school.
Which is many years ago now.
Many years ago, who just randomly wrote me a message. I haven't seen him. I mean, I saw him over Christmas, I think, not this year, but the year before that, and that's the last time I've seen him.
And it was a whole lot of, so I see you're single, so why don't I come up and we'll mingle?
Yeah, do you want me to read it really quick?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
And then you can explain what your deal breakers are so he can make himself into the perfect man for you.
No, it's just the Napoleon Dynamite thing. That just really bothers me.
Yeah, see,
but it was a gift. I hope. I don't know.
What? The guy that he had a copy of Napoleon Dynamite? Mm-hmm. See, but there's a whole lot of,
Because for my birthday, to be honest, somebody bought me a Napoleon Dynamite, like, Mad Libs thing. Because they didn't know me very well, but they bought me that, you know, for my birthday.
Well,
If they didn't know.
All right. Yeah, read this this MySpace message that you got from this guy you went to school with.
Hey, stranger, long time.
Hey, stranger. Anytime you get an email that starts with, hey, stranger, the odds are like 5 in 6 that it's somebody you don't want to hear from because they're going to be asking you for money. It's either somebody in your family or it's somebody you dated a long time ago that is now coming out of the woodwork because they are either freshly divorced or they need to borrow something from you. That's what hey, stranger always means.
Okay.
I know I'm digressing already, but go ahead.
All right. Hey, stranger. Long time. I thought about you the other day.
About you the other day. I was drunk and horny. Here's what I'm going to do. As you read this.
By the way, as you read this, keep in mind that this is not a person I've ever touched in any way. Like, never kissed him, never dated, never did anything.
So here's what we're going to do. As you read this line by line, I will translate what this means. Hey, stranger. Read... No offense. The person that I happened to randomly stumble across the other night.
I'm drunkenly browsing MySpace.
After hours of combing through all of the females that I went to high school with on MySpace who have their pictures listed.
I thought about you the other day and was like, yep, you snooze, you lose.
I am drunk and horny and wondering if you happen to be willing to drive 7 hours to come to my house and have sex with me.
Then today I saw you were single, so I guess this is me not snoozing. Smiley face emoticon. How's life? 3 question marks.
How's life? Anybody who uses multiple exclamation marks on things is a deal breaker with me.
Okay. You should. I don't even know where he lives now. You should come and play in the snow, or maybe take the lake in a few months. I wish I was still in Bremerton. Okay, only because I want to take you out and catch up.
Does he know that you no longer live in Bremerton?
He does.
Okay. So he just wishes he was still in Bremerton because of the bustling nightlife.
Yeah.
All right.
Give me a ring, blah, 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 sincerely, blank. P.S., if I hadn't just rolled my only vehicle, I would seriously take a trip up there to take you out.
Well, thank God for small miracles. Jesus.
That's
God.
A good kind of creepy.
Seriously. And I mean...
But I've never in any way, like, insinuated to this person that I'd like him to drive
never,
and take
never,
me out.
He's a guy that you sat next to in the cafeteria for a couple years. And that's... The guys just assume... Guys will totally do this. This is... They will just go to MySpace, and they will set... Like, you know, 2.5 miles of my zip code, all women, online, with pictures, and then go through and just, it is just a numbers game. He figures it out, and I'll guarantee you that he sent, not to knock you, you're a fine woman, but I'll guarantee you that he sent that same email to any number of other people that he happened to see online.
Well, he did actually have my phone number a while ago, and I did get some weird phone calls from him for a little bit. Yeah. But that was like over a year ago, so yeah, I think the drunken MySpace thing.
That's totally what it is. That's exactly what it is. You go through the items in the email.
Yeah, and there are some things that are oddly capitalized. Some of the letters.
I see you are single. I want to spend some time with you. Rick, a deal breaker. I heard this was the same as yours, which is bad teeth. No, totally bad teeth are a deal breaker. I don't care. And I want to get off of the whole thing about deal breakers here, but we were talking about about people who are really into Napoleon Dynamite or whatever. There is no woman who is hot enough to survive having really bad teeth. And I'm not talking about like if they're just either crooked or whatever, like you need braces. I'm talking about like you ever see a really hot, and this happens a lot in this part of the country, especially like in Vancouver. You'll see a woman who might otherwise be thought of as attractive, and then she'll smile and she's got the one blacked out witch tooth. That's a woman that can never again be found attractive in any way. In no way can that woman ever be thought of as hot. Rick, have you seen the local commercial that's on late night for an insurance agent that parodies Napoleon Dynamite?
Oh.
It's the most... Boy, that's terrible, too. Whenever there's an awful film that is then crudely satirized or parodied by a commercial for some product, it's the most awful thing ever, and it took me the longest time to even figure out what they were trying to advertise. Truly terrible. How about this? Sarah, the only way this special relationship can work is if said man likes another film to counterbalance Napoleon Dynamite and raises him back to acceptable levels. Then again, he does like Napoleon Dynamite and wants to see Wild Hogs.
He didn't say he wanted to see it.
He said it looked funny.
He kind of chuckled.
It
was enough to dishearten me.
You'll be glad to know that Scotty J is on his side because Scotty J has said to me now, come on, you can't tell me it doesn't look funny. Ha ha. All right, is this Ed? All right. Listen to this. Scotty's telling me. Scotty's typing on the screen about Ed McCarthy. He will hold until I tell him what to do.
Okay.
Oh,
Connie.
God.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the South, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
Hi, Ed. What's going on in your world, brother?
I'm doing the NASCAR thing on 85 here.
Now, is that... Now, are you in... okay, so you're back in Atlanta. You're not in Florida again, are you?
No, I'm back in Atlanta. I'm heading from the fabulous CNN Center home here, so...
Fantastic.
I'm on the wild ride here.
So, all right. So, I go away for a week. I mean, I didn't even go away. I was just, not on the air. You don't watch TV for a couple of days. And then I have no idea what's happening. So... Okay, Anna Nicole Smith, buried or not?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
So when is that? I mean, are they ever really going to bury her? Is this just some sort of a gag? Is this like a trailer for a movie that doesn't exist? Are they really ever going to bury her? What seems to be the holdup at this point?
Well, I don't know. James Brown is day 65.
Dude,
so,
and can you believe that? Can you believe that it's been since Christmas and they still haven't buried that guy? So
Anna Nicole has a lot of catching up to do.
All right. So is this because of the mom filing the lawsuit or?
Exactly. They have the appeal now. It's before the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeal in Atlanta, in West Palm Beach. I always want to say Atlanta because we have a Federal Circuit Court of Appeal in Atlanta. But this is in West Palm Beach, and there's a three-judge panel that will make a decision as to whether they're going to go for the stay and, hold the body up in Dania Beach, Florida, at that medical examiner's office where, she's been, the body is bent and decomposing. So it's just a mess, the whole thing. And they want to have the burial in the Bahamas. And, of course, that medical examiner said, Saturday was the time that was perfect for that, but it's going to be delayed even more. So... we'll see. And then they've got all this stuff going on in the Bahamas now. They're going to have a hearing on the 16th of March, and that's going to be on the DNA and the kid and all of it. And it's just, it gets more confusing by the minute, to be honest with you.
So now, why is it, dumb question, so why is the DNA test all happening in the Bahamas? Is that because the baby is there? Because all the fathers or prospective fathers are in the States.
Yeah, but they can't get the baby out of the Bahamas. And the Bahamas is ruling that the baby's going to have to stay there.
Why?
Because it's under Bahamian jurisdiction now, because the baby was born there.
For the love of... Okay. So the baby's not even an American citizen?
No. Absolutely not.
Christ. This is never going to be resolved. You could come back, presuming we haven't flipped to a Spanish format by then, you could come back a year from now, and we're going to be having all of these same conversations, aren't we?
Could be.
This is never going to be resolved. So, and then, as a side note to all of this, as an ancillary note, there's still all of this insanity with the J. Howard Marshall estate, right?
There is, and that's why, you have all these parties that are fighting, and of course, all these lawyers, because, there's a lot of money involved there, so they figure that, you can bill a lot of good time there, and there's an estate that's there to be had somehow.
And so my question is, okay, so she's been dead, coming up this day, the day after tomorrow, it's going to be 3 weeks, right?
3 weeks, correct. Yeah.
So when are we going to have some idea of what killed her? Because at this point, I just want closure, my friend. I just want to be... As a nation, I want us to all hug and put this behind us.
In another 2 weeks, we'll know because
two
the toxicology.
Weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. And that's on the short end of the scale because a lot of these toxicology reports take a little longer than that. So, they're kind of rushing it, and they're going to have that result probably, I would say, in a couple of weeks.
Jesus. The whole thing is just insane. So... All right, and so this the Bahamian court, and not to belabor the point about this, the business of who they. Here's the thing: as a country, everybody just wants to see this. As I said, just to see this resolved, because this is like a Miss Marple mystery that you just want to turn to the last page of, so you just know who did it, so you can put the freaking book down, and just get back to your life. So,
I know.
So do we think that all these guys are eventually going to have to fly down to the Bahamas and just give up the DNA at some point, or is that likely to happen?
Well, now there's a new twist here because, you know, in addition to the DNA, which, yeah, I'm sure, you know, that's exactly what's going to happen because it's not going to happen in Florida and it's not going to happen in California. You know, those judges realize that they don't have jurisdiction because of this thing shifting to the Bahamas now. So now we're looking at a situation where one of the attorneys says that the birth certificate is flawed, and she didn't say why. She says that there's some kind of a flaw with the birth certificate that Howard Stern is saying that he is the father of Danny Lynn. So they're saying that that's a fraud, the birth certificate. So.
All right. I can tell you, you know, it is going to be like a day and a half, and those Insta books are going to start appearing on the supermarket shelves. I should have been working on one of those. I should be working on a Lifetime movie script for this whole story right now.
It's going to be worth a lot of money.
All right. Hey, final observation before we go. Hey, what do you know about a guy named Steve Kastenbaum?
He's the new New York guy.
He is the new New York guy for CNN. What do we know
officially
about him? I met
him, and he's a tremendous guy. Very, very nice. And like him a lot. And Gary Baumgarten likes him, too, because he knows him. And he says that was a good hire.
Does it seem like we could make him crack?
Yeah, he did. I don't know if you make him crack
because
he's got a great sense of humor.
All right, you know, because there's different ends of the spectrum. There's the Jim Roop drunken end of the spectrum, and then there's the Bob Costantini, the Bob Costantini dry as desert sand end of the spectrum. So,
and the manic depressive Ed McCarthy end of the spectrum.
Yes, but the bourbon.
Oh,
helps.
Here we go. We're gonna have a restart here. There we are. We're going down here. We're going to clear debris, and we're going to have a restart on 85. I'm behind a semi-tractor trailer who just jammed his brakes on. This is a lot of fun.
It's your best day ever. All right.
But the Buford First United Methodist Church is in the lead right now. He's in the other lane. He's got a two-lap lead.
Ed's gone crazy. Okay.
Yes, I am.
All right. Ed McCarthy, I'm going to let you drive my friend get home safe. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Rick. Take care.
Thank you. All right, it sounded for a minute there like Ed McCarthy had just gone mad.
He's a little cookie.
Spouting gibberish. All right.
Hey, so I have something to bring up. I totally forgot about this until I had to mail my tax stuff.
Yeah.
I got summoned to be on a jury, and I have to do it tomorrow. I completely forgot about it. It was piled underneath all of my stuff.
Oh, you're supposed to write them a letter ahead of time.
I know. Now I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
You're
going
to go to jail.
Am I going to jail?
Yes.
Crap.
I don't know. Is she going to jail? Really?
But you can go to jail, yes.
Sarah's going to jail.
I am so fortunate that I found it before. Yeah, because my mail's just in a pile.
I didn't know your middle name until just this instant.
That's creepy.
What?
Now that you know it.
Why is it creepy that I know your middle name?
See,
do you mind if I say it? All right, no.
I don't want you to say it.
What would X stand for?
I figured it was Xavier. Let's see. Jury summons by order of the presiding judge. When did you get this, and why did you decide just to stick it under a pile of crap?
Because I'm irresponsible.
Bad news, now you got to go. Had you written a letter explaining that you're in the media, and therefore you know the facts behind it, you can't get out of it now.
Oh, well, then I can still go and tell them that tomorrow, right?
But you're gonna
have to serve tomorrow.
What does that mean?
Hold on, let's stop and get a hold of ourselves. This is gripping.
Well, this happens to people. I work like basically a minimum wage job that I have to leave to work for even less.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is really gripping. This is actually fantastic stuff. Okay, so let's look at this. All right, so just for the record, this is not like a put up. Like I saw
I'm so lucky that I found it yesterday.
I look over and Sarah is like reading this thing that clearly she has not really laid eyes on before. Let's see. Circuit Court of the State of Oregon, Multnomah County. Sarah Dillon, jury summons, order the presiding judge. Greetings. Greetings, citizen. You are hereby commanded to serve in the armies of Zur. Nah, I'm doing it all wrong, but you know what I mean. You are hereby summoned to serve as a juror in the Multnomah. When did they send this? They sent this a month ago almost. They sent this on February 1st.
Yep. You're going to have to live with it now.
You are hereby summoned to serve as a juror in the Multnomah County Circuit Court beginning on the date below, 2/28. What is today?
227.
227, just double checking. Your term of service, listen to this. Thanks for this. Your term of service includes the date below, that is tomorrow, Wednesday, and it continues until the completion of any trials for which you are selected.
Ooh.
Some trials are short, so you may serve on more than one jury. Other trials are longer, so your service may continue beyond one day.
Oh, stop reading. It's making me all icky inside. I don't want to do it.
Well, you have no choice.
Please complete and sign the enclosed eligibility form and mail it as soon as possible. Says this form that they sent to you a month ago. Postage is prepaid. That was nice of them, Sarah.
I was wondering what the envelope
was for. Very... The return form is essential for the court to verify your eligibility to serve. Well, okay, but she didn't mail it back, so maybe she's off the hook. It must be received by the court no later.
Stop, Rick. You're freaking me out.
Than 1 week before the date of your service. Oregon law provides that an employer shall, that's us, I guess, the station, shall not intimidate or coerce any employee by reason of the employee's service as a juror. Each eligible person has an obligation to serve as a juror to protect the right of every person to trial by jury. The right to a trial by jury... I really need music for this. Hold on a second. I got to find something appropriate. Okay, this isn't... let's see. Is my computer up
here?
Yes. All right. This isn't really appropriate. This is the only gripping music I could find. The right to a trial by jury has meaning only if you and others serve as jurors. Under law, a person is required to respond to the circuit court summons by completing the eligibility form.
Damn it.
And, I think you thought it was maybe a suggestion. And if eligible, by serving as summoned, deferring service to a future date. If you do not respond to this summons...
Oh, no, I don't want to know. I didn't read that part.
Do you want to guess?
I go to jail?
Do you want to guess?
I don't want to guess. Just tell me.
If you do not respond to this summons, which was mailed on February 1st, including a prepaid address envelope, you may be ordered by the court to complete and return the form to appear before the court and show cause why you should not be held in contempt. If you are charged with contempt, you risk criminal sanctions.
Oh, my God. Can I just tell them I'm really messy and I got stuck in a bunch of my bills? That's not contempt, that's laziness.
I lost it in a pile of pornography. All right, and then we're...
And there's the form.
Yeah, here's the form. Oh, listen to this. Are you a woman breastfeeding a child? I swear to God, that's a question here. Jesus. Well, can't you get out by, but I think that time has passed.
Yeah.
I don't think,
a thoughtful letter within a timely manner would have got you out of it. I've done it in the past myself.
I think the news desk is a little spiky today.
You're kicking me when I'm down.
I know.
That's not very nice.
No, I'm displaying facts.
I think the news desk is being a little grim and joyless today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should I be making light of this?
Yes. That's what I'm doing.
There's nothing joyful about possible jail time.
That really is true.
A man in a black robe is a very serious individual sitting at that high desk.
I was waiting for you to go the other route.
Am I supposed to call him Your Honor?
I was waiting for Tim to go the... There's nothing joyful about shirking your civic duty as mandated by the Constitution.
So what's going to happen to me tomorrow morning is I'm going to be hungover because I'm going out tonight.
Well, you can tell him that. That might happen.
I can't serve. I'm drunk.
I lost my jury summons in a pile of pornography.
That's what I'd say. You should say the dog ate it.
But it's for a goof.
Yeah. Well, it's all there now.
I should feed it to him this afternoon.
You force feed it to him. You eat it!
You can put paw prints on it.
All right.
So I'm going to jail.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to jail. You're honestly going to go down and travel.
Well, no. I mean, but what if she's found in contempt? What are criminal sanctions? What are the criminal sanctions for being found in contempt, you suppose?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, here in Portland... Criminals get their hands slapped every day.
But I have a media pass since we do research?
I hope you're
research.
Not put in the cage with meth addicts. What?
Okay.
You may. You could bring it up. Do you have a business card?
Yes.
That might help. So we can't predict what might happen here.
No. Can we make this for remote? Can we send somebody like the Marty unit down there and they can broadcast the whole thing?
As in pleading for forgiveness?
Let's see. The courthouse opens it. You must report no later than 8 a.m.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me?
Well, still drunk. Hello. I'm here. Bring that guilty bastard in. So you're going to be gone. So you're going to be gone tomorrow, regardless.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well,
unless she's forgiven on the spot, it could happen.
No, but I mean, but you're not going to be on the show because you got to be there at 8 o'clock.
I was just kind of hoping to tuck it back away and forget it existed.
You should do that.
I'll
give you $10 if you do that.
Yeah.
I'll give you $10 and buy you lunch if you just don't go tomorrow.
If I wouldn't have been looking through my papers, I would not have found that.
What if you just want to encourage her one way or the other since you are the employer?
Technically.
Oh.
No, this is all. This is for satiric purposes.
Oh.
Everything.
This is my life, Rick. This isn't satiric.
Well, yeah, over there it's your life. Over here it's just kookiness. Out there, outside that door, it's your life. In here, it's just a gag.
It's always a lot better in here, I found.
It's true. Haven't you found that that's the case?
I love entering this door. At least spending 4 hours away from the real world.
You have no idea.
I have an idea.
No, I'm just saying people. Sarah and I have talked about this, actually. People have no idea how great it is working here on this show, spending 4 hours in what is essentially a real-world vacuum. I mean,
risk your life getting here.
Yeah, seriously.
Walking through storms, taking public transportation.
Seriously, just because there's 4 hours a day in here where gravity sort of suspends itself, you don't really have to worry about anything. All you have to worry about is whether a celebrity is going to die during the show and whether you'll get the news in a timely fashion and have something pithy to say.
So it's unfortunate when real life interrupts this little fantasy world we live in.
The fantasy world in which Sarah returned this jury summons properly and was not going to be held in contempt of court. Oh, and they've got your real address here, too.
Oh, I know.
See, because otherwise you could have said that you never got it. Well, what if, and again, all purpose...
Why don't we talk about this on the radio? If you have some real advice, we should turn off the microphone.
Let me...
Well, I was just wondering if your latest photo spread is going to be out before this court appearance. But that would be tomorrow, right? So
yeah, so it won't be.
Why?
Well, because...
So you consider that she's a woman of loose morals because she's topless? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that?
No.
Funny guy.
She's involved in creative activities.
Being topless.
Okay. Wait, my friend Lisa just wrote... All right, I did the same thing you did. I said the jury summons a sign and forgot about it. I got all worried, but my friend said it was highly unlikely the court is going to take the time to come looking for little me. Nothing has happened.
So
this was over 2 years ago.
So she just didn't go. Well,
it's
I know,
really not
Lisa,
that big of a
sense.
Deal. They have more bad guys to catch them looking for you.
Yeah. Of course, she's not on the air doing a daily radio.
No, I'm really
making just a little easier to find her.
Yeah, Lisa's going to be hard to track down. You, not so much. Broadcasting to thousands of people, run. I'm not going. They mailed it out on the 1st of February. My name is Sarah. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be real hard to find. You're not going to last in an interrogation room either. You'll crack. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Sarah, you don't have a problem in the world here.
I don't?
I just went down to serve jury duty. Now, when you get now, you know, I mean, theoretically, when you go down there tomorrow morning, they will say, we don't have your form. And you will shamefully say, oh, here it is. I didn't turn it in. They'll look down their nose at you and shamefully point, you need to go over there in that line. At which point, then you have to go wait in another line to turn in your little wonder form filled out. So there's really no big issue with that.
So unless
did you end up having to serve, or did they save it for a later time?
One of the nice things about Multnomah County is they bring you down there for the day. And two times in like the last 3 years, I've been sent home by noon.
This is why you shouldn't vote, by the way.
Exactly.
You should vote, and then you have to do stuff.
If they choose you out of the 170 people that are there, they'll take out one or two groups of people, which will then go into a jury selection. They've never even taken me.
That's not going to work.
It's like American Idol.
Seriously, if they choose her, I'm going to get on the air every day and say that Sarah Dillon thinks that guy's a guilty bastard and she's going to sit into the chair.
I love you. I want to hug you.
Seriously, if they choose her, I will get on the air and taint that jury pool the first day.
They better not.
That's not going to happen.
Worst case scenario is they'll take you away to select, and you can say, hey, I'm a member of the media. You guys are all guilty. And they're going to say, hey, we don't want you on our jury pool.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Worst case scenario,
that's
you got
how it's done. All right. Thank you, sir.
So the next time it happens, yes.
Let's see. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Howdy.
Hey.
I don't think Sarah has anything to worry about because I found my form 2 days after I was supposed to go.
What a thriving democracy we have. It's hard to believe this country's in trouble.
I'm a slob, what can I say?
Yeah.
Me too.
And what happened?
My fault.
What happened?
It is your fault.
my best friend's brother's an attorney, so I called him and he said, blow it off and just write a letter saying I'm sorry and that you just found it. Unfortunately, Sarah, you can't do that because you spoke about it on the radio.
I know, that's because I was a little scared, David. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, contact your attorney next time.
Sarah. I'm sure you
I don't know how to
in your budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
$5.
Have you been injured in a judge?
No.
We've got multiple Kristens. Your Kristen, our good friend Kristen Bowie. Hello.
Hello. Sarah, you don't have anything to worry about. I just did the same thing, waited a month afterwards and called them and they just rescheduled it. You don't even have to go tomorrow.
No. Really? I can just call them?
I was just gonna say, Kristen, what are you doing tomorrow from 11 to 3?
I'm getting my braces off, Rick.
Yeah, see, she can't.
Okay, well, you can't go then. Because there's nobody. There's nobody to work.
Just call the courthouse after 11 and be like, oh, my God, I totally forgot about it.
Yeah, because I just did. Yeah, I just found out nobody can cover for me.
Yeah, they'll totally reschedule for you.
I'll call them and threaten to fire you.
I'll just say that I called them on Monday, and I was supposed to serve the 22nd of January. So.
Fantastic. So really, the only people who end up serving on juries are just the unemployed or the bored.
Yeah. So and if you go, you will get picked for a horrible, boring case.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be like a capital case. You won't get to kill a guy.
Mine was a property suit about coal slag.
So I'm afraid that they're going to be mean. Do you think they'll be understanding if I'm like, hey, nobody can cover for my job. I just found this. I didn't pre-plan.
She was a bitter old woman, but she rescheduled. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Rescheduled?
Yeah.
You have to go back in the future.
Yeah, so you will have to go at some point.
And you can choose any time after March is what she told me.
can you ask to wait for a grisly murder case?
Yes. Fantastic.
I only accept serial killers.
I was going to say, I'd like to wait for a stabbing if you have it. All right. Thank you, Kristen.
No problem.
All right. Well,
thanks, Kristen. Well, I mean, potentially all of us would be terrible jurors. But we're also skewed.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. Oh, no. And I would do everything I could.
I would just make somebody guilty just for the fact that it could be in the media and then we could talk about it the next
time. Seriously.
Right. Just don't you do it.
Just filter everything through.
Unfortunately, you still have to go down there.
Let's see. Tom, though, says, on the contrary, Sarah is screwed.
Oh, God.
Hi, Tom.
Oh, it's not that.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Well, here's the deal. She has to show up tomorrow. That's a guarantee because she didn't send the form in, and there might be a possibility that they'll reschedule her, or because at the beginning of the month they have so few people show up, and technically it's the beginning of the month, that they have so few people show up that you are just immediately put into a jury. I've had that happen before. The other thing is that now, I don't know if you know this or not, but grand jury is not voluntary anymore, and that's a month that you have to sit in there, and it doesn't matter if you're part of the media or not, because you're sitting on trials, basically, that are scheduled, and you determine whether they actually go to the jury or not.
We also have this email says, Rick, if Sarah does not report for jury duty, they will issue a bench warrant. The next time she is stopped for any traffic infraction, she will be arrested and go to jail.
Oh, my God.
Just like you did for your forgotten traffic. And that is what happened to me. They put out a bench warrant, and then they slapped the cuffs on me when they pulled me over. All right. Thank you, sir.
Ooh.
Okay. That's Tom.
Now I'm sufficiently freaked out. My stomach's in knots. This is great. I love life. Can I have that paper?
You don't need this back. You're just going to ignore this, right? Okay. You shouldn't read this. Let me just leave it over here. You can't call now. If you call now, I can't milk it.
You want me to sit here feeling like crap?
Yeah. Well, let's take a few more calls first. Dan, you're on the Rick. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Sarah, you got nothing to worry about. I've got a couple of those, and I've ignored both of them. I've never went to jail.
It's good that everybody's on
the bench warrant.
Flouting the law. Yeah, have you been pulled over recently?
Oh, lots of times, yeah.
Lots of times.
So I think they just kind of forget about it after a while, but I wouldn't quote me on that. I would...
Dan isn't a lawyer. That's basically what you're saying.
I'm just saying I got away with it, and I never wrote him a letter or nothing.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
All right, there you go. It's a lot of I got away with it. Let's see. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
All I got to do is either you call and say she can't make it because you're her boss, or just tell her.
Great, then I go to jail.
No, because she's got to work.
Because there is nobody.
No, because they say.
Kristen's going to be in the hospital, you know.
I work for my dad, and he does it for me all the time. Just says you can't do it. Can't make it. I need him there.
Okay.
Either that or just say you're part of the media, because then you got kind of a slanderous view towards whatever's going on.
That's true.
Yes, slanderous.
We're more likely to want a conviction just because we're bad people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that, but have a good day, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'll call right now. When we come back, I'll call. When we come back, and I'll just say.
Okay.
May we speak with the bitter old woman who schedules juries?
Can I speak with the city clerk?
Are you ready to call for me?
Yeah. I'll totally call, and I'll just say I am her employer, and no.
We can't live without her.
You can't have her. She's not coming.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's take one more, and then we'll break. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, so really, same thing happened to me. The day after I was supposed to go to jury duty, report for it, I found the paperwork. Oh, no! I called them up, and the lady said, that's not a problem. I'll just reschedule you, and that's all it was, and they rescheduled me for a later date.
Yeah,
so.
But we don't want to... Okay, rescheduling for a later date, this is...
We can delay the problem for a little bit, and then we can do some research and figure out how I can delay it indefinitely. But at least I just don't want to do it tomorrow.
You can't get out of it. Once your number's been picked, that's it.
So you... All right, thank you.
And chances are you go down there and you sit, then they won't call you, so...
Yeah, all right.
And then I think it's 2 years after that they won't call you again.
Oh, that's not true. I think Kristen from accounting, I think, has said that she's been pulled multiple times, I think.
Really?
All right, there you go. That's it. Oh, speaking of which, let's see. Here's Kristen from accounting. Well, I guess we'll take this call here. Thank you, Steve. Our good friend Kristen. Hello there. Hello.
Hi.
No, gone.
She has a real job. She probably had to.
Maybe she had jury duty.
Rick, it might be good for Sarah to not lie, since the entire city now knows her story. Tell her to call now and plead for her life.
No, I'm not going to lie. I really lost it under a pile of stuff. Nobody can work for me tomorrow.
I'm just going to say that
I'm
a
messy bastard.
I'm just going to call. I'm just going to say no.
It's more than Scotty could handle.
Seriously. I mean, well, and Kristen Bowie can't be here. She's getting her braces off. So, yeah. All right. Well, we should break here. We'll come back. We'll go to the Ministry of Truth here with Tim Riley, and we'll get Sarah Dillon out of jury duty.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Stop saying that. You're going to jinx it. You're going to get like an angry woman with a vengeance against you. She's going to recognize your voice.
Absolutely, positively, without fail,
Rick,
get Sarah out of jury duty
it.
And keep her out of the pokey. All right, you stay there. Back out of this, the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
A black final soul, rock and roll coming like a rhino. Table turned, suckers burn to learn. They can't disable the power of my label. Death stand, tells you who I am. The enemy's public.